For an increasing number of Republicans, frustration has become their feeling for the political system as well as the path that our country is on. That feeling of frustration brings a person to two choices, either do nothing or do something. Our next guest with his new book fortunately calls for the latter when it comes to politics, elections, and the key economic elements of our country. His vision and sense of reality comes with the experience of being a member of the political system as a member of Congress and former GOP presidential candidate. His new book is Blue Collar Conservatives, Reconnecting to an America That Works. We say good morning to Senator Rick Santorum. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Want to start with the subtitle of your book, Recommitting to an America That Works. Is that commitment more lacking in the politicians, or maybe even worse, is it lacking among too many of we the people?
Well, I think mostly the first. Obviously, you can't have a culture that does a lot to discourage work, which I think our welfare system and a lot of folks who are on the political left, give short shrift to the importance and the key of work. It's going to have some impact, but the book is written for blue collar conservatives, and those folks want to work, know the importance of work, know the importance of family. And I think that is still the vast majority of Americans out there. And I think you have a political class that on the left doesn't appreciate that and actually is threatened by it, because if people are self-sufficient, then they don't need the politicians and the government. And then you have folks on the right who are insensitive to the problems of people who are trying to work but not achieving and succeeding. And so I think that's why I make the point in the book that neither political party is really addressing the problems of the American worker today.
And that would come at least initially as a surprise to a person, because they usually don't connect Republicans with alienating the worker. They usually see that as the Democrats, as you mentioned, with the welfare state and Obamacare and things like that, which you write about as well in detail in Blue Collar Conservatives. What are some of the mistakes that the Republican Party has made that has wound up making them alienators of a huge voter base out there?
Well, I mean, just look at what the last convention, and when Barack Obama got up and said, a gaffe, according to the Romney campaign and the Republican Party, was, you didn't build that. And so I spoke at Tuesday night at the night of the convention in 2012, and you had a whole laundry list of small business people get up and make the point that, yeah, we did build that. Well, the bottom line is that, yes, those business people did build that, but they had some help. And instead of what Barack Obama did, which is to, castigate the business owners, we went out and alienated the job holders, the people who work for the businesses, and said, that you really don't matter. Instead of what we should have done is bring business owners and workers together out there and make the case that, yes, we built that and it wasn't the government, that we did it in spite of the government, and that Barack Obama is making it harder to build these businesses and be successful.
One of the things that the current administration, the Obama administration, likes to boast about, although if you look at the facts of the matter, is how domestic energy creation has expanded, although the truth is that's on private land, not on federally held land, which you point out in your book, and that they are job creators, which if that was so, why are they making so many restrictions for what is one of our true growth industries, the energy industry, from fracking to oil to natural gas, they're putting in coal, of course, and making so many restrictions on it that those industries can't grow and those jobs aren't being created.
Well, now you make excellent points on all fronts that the energy industry is key in creating really good-paying jobs that do more than just create good-paying jobs. They lower the cost of energy in this country, which, if you look at the people who are most impacted by that, they're lower and middle-income people who spend a lot higher percentage of their paycheck on energy than higher-income people do. Secondly, you look at the impact on manufacturing. Manufacturing is really where I focus this book on, and I focus my economic policy, because that's where you create wealth. That's where you get really the good-paying jobs and the spin-off jobs that really do make a difference in working families' lives. And so when you lower energy prices, what's the biggest user of energy in the country? It's manufacturing. There's a ton of energy. When you keep those energy prices down, you make it much more attractive for manufacturers to come in. So that there's all sorts of reasons that we should be for a robust energy policy, and this administration has had it both ways. They you've seen a growth in energy and drilling and lower prices as a result, in spite of the fact that this administration has shut down every public land of drilling, makes it harder to drill offshore than it's ever been, and does nothing but get in the way of the private sector and then takes credit for lower energy prices.
Talking with Senator Rick Santorum, his new book, Blue Collar Conservatives, Recommitting to an America That Works, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Along with just the facts and the truths that you present and detail in Blue Collar Conservatives, Senator, what I'd like to is you integrated real people's lives and stories to back up the points you were making. For example, on page 147, you write on the campaign trail in 2012, I met Dick Holcomb from rural Sullivan County, northeastern Pennsylvania, ground zero for Pennsylvania shale gas boom. After traveling the world for his career in business, Dick returned home to Sullivan County to start an e-commerce services company. He's been successful, now the largest private employer in the county. And you point out that Dick could have gone anywhere, but two things drew him back home: caring for his aging parents and shale. That he understood the potential, he saw a need, and he saw opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at where the economy is booming, it's booming where the energy industry is right now. If it wasn't for the energy industry in this country, the economy would be flat on its back, and I think we'd still be in recession. And this is the real life stories that we're trying to show you. These are average Americans who have gone to places where the opportunities are and are succeeding wildly. I mean, North Dakota is another example. We got 2% unemployment up there. You know, the jobs are paying outrageous amounts of money. They're looking for people to come and work there. So there's still opportunities in America. And when we look at where those opportunities are, you'd say, well, why is it the government getting out of the way and let the private sector develop these opportunities so people can get good paying jobs? And if you look at Andrew Cuomo in New York, he shut down fracking right across, two counties away from Sullivan County, Pennsylvania, is the New York border. And right across that border, there's, you're not allowed to drill for a single thing. You got farmers up there who are struggling. You have businesses up there who are struggling. And they're saying, nope, we're not gonna allow any exploration of gas or oil in New York State. And it's killing the economy of rural New York.
You write about in Blue Collar Conservative a lot of things that people are certainly frequently discussing, everything from tax reform, job creation, and like we're talking about here with energy. But you also talk about those are the concrete elements. You also bring in to the equation, as far as recommitting to an America that works, the abstract, the feeling of service, the willingness to set goals, to achieve, to build a strong family unit instead of reveling in a single parent household, which usually has more losses and tragedies than it ever has happiness and stability. Those are the ideas. Unfortunately, not too many people are grasping on that. It's good that you bring them to the forefront, because people have to realize the importance of what's around them immediately, and its strength, the strength that it communicates to the world that's further out around them.
Well, I've always said you can't have a strong economy without strong family. And when the family breaks down, the economy is not going to do as well. It's much easier in a family and in a community to have strong, stable, healthy, economic, and vibrant communities when you have two parents raising a child as opposed to one. It's just easier. It's easier economically. It's easier physically. It's easier mentally and emotionally. And it's also, as we've seen from every study, married people are happier and children do better. And so it's not that single families can't produce and don't produce amazing children and they can be very, very successful. They can and they are, but it's harder, and therefore the success rate isn't as good. And so what we should be doing is, from the very earliest stages in the education system, is letting children understand the importance of marriage, understand what men and women do in bringing different things to the lives of those children. And because in a lot of these kids' cases, they don't know marriage. They were raised in a single home. They're raised in neighborhoods where there is no marriage. And so marriage is something it's almost inconceivable to them, because it doesn't exist in their world. So there's a lot that we can do to identify and help people, particularly those who are struggling economically, and particularly those who have generationally struggled economically, to begin to turn that around.
Wrapping over time with Senator Rick Santorum and his book, Blue Collar Conservatives, Recommitting to an America That Works, Aaron Issues and Ideas. I don't want to tip the story here, but I often, my preaching, my soapbox mantra is, no matter who you think you are, you can always make a difference. And I hope that when you read Blue Collar Conservatives, you spend time on the two-page story. And I'm sure, Senator, you remember this woman very well, Wendy Jensen, because she's an example of, if you don't think you can make a difference, you can make a difference by doing everything that you possibly can and that you have a passion for. And I think that's the key that Wendy's story brings about. But I want to wrap up with this one last question. It is said by those who are political pundits that when someone is considering a run for office, one of the ways they dip their toe into the water is that they publish a book and then they judge it by sales. And if the sales are good, well, maybe I'll stick my whole foot in to the water instead of other places on bodies, which we've seen other politicians do. So is I don't expect you to do any news breaking here, but for 2016, just around the corner in the decision process, just give you a couple of months, is that something on your list of things to maybe do?
Well, it is a baby do, for sure. I mean, we're certainly looking at it. This book is really written for now, today, for the troubles that America are in right now and the struggles that a lot of working people are having. And so we really wrote this for today and for any candidates in the 2016 election that want to take a look and realize this is a winning strategy if we engage in it. And so 2016 is a possibility, but no decisions yet.
Blue Collar Conservatives, Recommitting to an America That Works. Senator Rick Santorum, thanks so much for being here this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.